This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We asked this exact question that we're talking about. We asked Steve Kerr about it, and this is kind of what his response was in terms of everything and how it's gone immediately with Jimmy Butler.
There is a great vibe in the locker room and a lot of confidence, you know, in on the floor. You can just feel it. There's a maturity to our approach that I think Jimmy has helped bring out of our team, just in terms of taking care of the ball, making every possession count. He seems to make everyone around him better. I think Moses and BP, it's not a coincidence that they're playing their best basketball of the season since Jimmy came back. And Draymond's been fantastic, and I think he's got a lot more confidence now in, you know, just having Jimmy next to him and the momentum of the group that we have right now. It's you can see it in Draymond's eyes that he's believing, and that matters.
That belief, you know, I don't know how you can fully sit here and quantify this. And so that's kind of why I just reacted the way I did to our last caller. Like, I don't, to me, this goes so much deeper and at an emotional level than, oh, Jimmy's really, really good. You know, dude, Andrew Wiggins is a good basketball player.
Right, it's not Jimmy Butler. He doesn't inject confidence in other people. Like,
no doubt.
When Andrew plays, even when he plays well, I don't think that the way Andrew plays is the way that other people around him are going to feed off of it and play better because of it. And I think about the NBA Finals run in 2022 when Andrew Wiggins had a game where he had 10 or 11 rebounds, and Steph and Draymond both went out of their way in their press conferences to say, wasn't that awesome?
Yeah.
That's the player that Andrew could be. I mean, if Andrew sets his mind to it, he could be that guy. And yet, Jimmy Butler doesn't need a pep talk. He goes into the locker room. He starts burning candles. He's wearing his unique garb, and he's out there just doing his own thing. And he's pulling teammates aside. And, you know, you hear some of the coaches talk about it where Jimmy is immediately coaching up some of the younger guys. He's working with Gui Santos on his post defense, and he hit the ground. He walked into the locker room, and he wasn't waiting for permission to be a veteran or to be a coach on the floor.
I don't think that even those of you who were really immediately excited about the acquisition of Jimmy Butler, that you thought it would look like this.
I mean, not like this.
Well, think about the words we were using when this guy got acquired. Malcontent, 35 years old, right? Like, this guy is not, he didn't want to be here. These are the things that were being said 3 weeks ago. And so for this guy to walk in and be having this experience, that's really what I come away with today. I look at this and I go, for a year and a half now, those of us who follow Golden State Warrior basketball, even those of us who want to be dreamers, even those of us who are the most optimistic minds out there, you had to have major questions about whether or not Steph Curry actually had relevant, meaningful playoff basketball in his future. Now it feels like a fait accompli. I don't know if they're going to win any series, but, like, dude, I think we're going to get a series against, like, Denver or Memphis or something like that.
Oh, yeah. And
like, we're going to get that.
I think it's likely that you get more than one series.
We weren't going to get that. We weren't going to get that, and now we're going to get that.
Well, we were going to hope to survive the play-in, and then if we did that, then we were going to get that. But now it feels like you're going to get that, and you might actually climb up to five, and there's a shot you can get into that four, and like you can really start to think about bigger things and, you know, hosting game one of an NBA playoff series, right? It's not out of the question.
No, it's not out of the question.
Like right now, honestly, and I don't want you to get too far ahead because you're big and live in the moment, and I love that about you with 20 games left to go, but if you found yourself as a Warrior fan in the play-in tournament, would you feel disappointed?
If they ended up in the play-in tournament?
Yeah. Like right now.
That probably means something happened.
Maybe not. I mean, it still is a pretty thin margin.
No, they're
you're a half game up on the seven, and you're a game up on the eight.
Well.
So, I mean, you can finish up the year going 13-7.
But those are numbers. And I know numbers are numbers.
Yeah.
But I mean, but look at the teams who are sitting there.
I get it, but that's why I'm asking you the emotion of if you wound up as a seven seed.
Yeah, that'd be a bummer.
Okay, yeah.
That'd be a bummer.
And it's crazy to think where we were when we were sitting at Splash down in Thrive City when we were breaking down this trade in real time, and I was hoping for Bethune-Cookman to cover on the scroll, and we were thinking, oh boy, I mean, this might work, but honestly, you're still probably going to be a play-in team, and who knows if disgruntled Jimmy Butler's going to work, and Steph's got the bilateral knee tendonitis, and what are we even doing here, right?
Yeah.
And now here we are 2 weeks later, and we're rightfully talking about maybe getting to the four.
Well, I mean, and what we're doing now is listening to Brandon Pajemski say things like this. It was said on Steiny and Goo earlier today.
Yeah, I think the sixth seed was the bare minimum expectation, the staff from us after the trade deadline. And obviously we're here now. We're like three games behind the Rockets for the five spot. And the three seed, I think, is only 4.5 or 5 away. And so we got the whole month of March and a little bit of April left. It does have, we got an easy strength schedule in the Western Conference left. And the teams above us got to play each other a couple of times. So someone's going to lose. And, you know, thankfully, Houston, we have the tiebreaker with them. I think we maybe have Memphis tiebreaker. I'm not sure. You know, we're just trying to get as high as we can. The higher we can get, the more home games we can get in the playoffs. That's the goal.
You know, Steve Kerr talks so much about confidence, and you can feel it and hear it. I love it when you even hear commentary like that. Like, I love that the Warriors are not running from the idea of scoreboard watching. You don't usually hear that. There's a lot of teams that when you start getting to that subject, you know exactly. Durant did it last night. Now the Suns are a mess and they're the 11 and they're not even going to be in the play-in. But what does that player or coach usually say when you're like, are you looking at the Rockets?
Well, we're just going to keep our head down, and if we handle our business, you know, things will work out, and we're not worried about other teams. You know, we're just worried about, you know, we're going to take it one possession at a time,
Mark.
We're
worried about us.
We're going to try to get a stop and then get a bucket and, you know, keep our heads down and just play ball.
It's funny that you're talking about Shaq today, because he used to be famous for this. Go ahead and get your drip ready. When I was in the locker room covering those Shaq and Kobe teams, and when I used to interview Shaq on a nightly basis. By the way, it hurts your arm. He is a large human being. And even when he would sit down for the interviews, there were so many reporters that you had to, like, snake your arm through three people just to get a microphone there, and you had to get it real close because he mumbled.
Okay, we get it. You covered Shaq. It's a four.
Yeah, you get back to the station, and that's what your audio sounds like.
Great. You get a muscle pull.
Exactly.
I guess we're not going to fight then.
No, we didn't because you're too big. So anyway, but back in those days, he used to use that line all the time.
We do what we do, we'll be fine. I'll make the free throws when I need to make the free throws.
Like, he used to say that to everything. And quite frankly, it's kind of a bore. I love that Steve Kerr's like going to dinner tonight, going to a Broadway show, keeping my phone on. The Grizzlies are playing. We're watching.
Right.
I love this. Pods is like, yep, we got the tiebreaker on that team. We're going to catch them. Got you over here. I think we can catch you. Good. Good. That's what this team is so comfortable in their own skin right now. And they weren't. They weren't. Like 6 weeks ago, they weren't.
Well, it was a crisis of confidence. And if we go back even further than that, just how many days did we come in here and talk about Steph Curry at the podium after losses where he sounded sad and
despondent.
Lost? Right. It's like, you know, it didn't really have the answer. Didn't know what the fix was, and you know, and they were talking about not mortgaging the future to try to make a big swing, and we all thought, oh, okay, and I kind of agreed with it, and you were able to make this happen without mortgaging the future. You gave up a pick in the upcoming draft that is looking worse and worse for, you know, for Miami. All of a sudden, Miami's not getting the top 15 pick. I think they're probably going to be looking at a number 20 in the first round if things continue in this direction.
Correct.
And so, doesn't feel like you gave up that much, and you gave up Andrew Wiggins, but you've been trying to for the better part of a year and a half, and you gave up three rentals, two rentals and a guy that you found off the G League scrap heap. So not only did you not mortgage the future, it was kind of a garage sale more than anything, where you advertise, hey, come get an Andrew Wiggins. First of its kind. We have other things too. We got some old vinyl. I got a Nintendo that still works.
Well,
I've got a bike, a kid's bike with one flat tire.
Things broke their way.
Yeah.
The timing broke their way. Kevin Durant saying no broke their way. And so, yeah, it ended up being as cheap as it could have been.
Yeah.
I remember in that moment, I'm like, ooh, first round pick? Hey. Right? Because it felt like Warriors might be a lottery team. And who knows? I still think that it's a little bit far-fetched to think that all three of these dudes are just going to be happy-go-lucky, healthy guys for the next 2 months every night. Like, that does still feel
far-fetched. And Jimmy's got the back issue.
Jimmy's got the back, and Steph's got the ankles and the knee and all of the stuff. So, like, it's not just all definitely going to be perfect the rest of the way. But, yes, it now feels like we're looking at a deal where the Warriors didn't really give up anything that they weren't completely willing to give up. We're sponsored by the San Francisco International Airport. We'll continue to take your phone calls on the level of surprise that it's been this good, this quick. 888-957-9570. Does anybody want a mea culpa? Does anybody want to redo their take? And then we got to get into the Shaquille O'Neal of it all as well. This is Willard and Dibs.
Pulls up from 13, too strong, rebound yanked down by Jimmy Butler. This is fourth rebound of the game, and the Warriors 1 point lead in the leather. 11:36 to go in the fourth. Field catch, shoot, right wing three is perfect. And perhaps the end of the third unlocked, Buddy.
Hey, Eric, Buddy here. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7, the game.
Oh, I always wait. Hey, Dibs, your picks, they stink.
Yeah, they do.
Well, and did Buddy get over a 3.5 in the first half, or did that not come till later? Because that was my take-it-to-the-bank prediction.
Oh, you needed 2 threes in the first half.
Yeah, I don't think we got there.
I don't think that happened.
No, I know he got 3 for the game.
I don't think mine happened either. I think I needed Moses Moody to hit 2 threes. I think he only hit one.
Mm.
Yeah. So,
couple, yeah, just one.
Couple of losers.
Man, jeez.
It could be the name of the show.
Na 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 na.
Couple of losers. The game. A couple losers.
Not bad.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, the whole thing, you hear Buddy's voice. And by the way, how about this? A little nugget that Steve Kerr gave us, because you asked him about Buddy Hield, and he stated, now wait for it, one of Steph Curry's favorite teammates of all time. Try to make sense of that for a second.
Of all time.
Yeah. Like, no championship resume whatsoever.
No.
Tons of teammates. This is a lengthy career now. I mean, this goes all the way from Buddy Hield to David West and
David
Leandro
Lee.
Barbosa, yep, and David, yep, Lee, and sure, whatever. Monte Ellis, whatever. Like
JaVale McGee.
All the guys.
Yep.
All the guys. And so for him to say that, my best guess, and we were talking about it earlier, we'll go to the phones here in just a sec, but my best guess is that we have probably understated over the last couple of years what it was like to be in that Warrior locker room, and it probably felt really, really stressful and hard. You had 1 year marred by the Draymond Jordan Poole thing.
Good point.
And then the next year was Mr. Mopey Pants. I'm sorry to call. No, I'm sorry.
Whoa, dude.
I'm sorry. But he was.
Say that to Michael next time we get him on.
I will.
If we ever do.
Probably not.
Not anymore.
Not now.
Not now.
But holy cannoli. This is crazy.
I'm sorry, dude. I call it, for me, it's momentary. I don't think that that's like defines who Klay Thompson is, but it did last year.
Yeah.
You were Mr. Mopey Pants. And it stunk. It stunk for everybody. And I also say that because we know, dude, we heard. Not just what we saw, but like we heard from inside the room, dude, this is really wearing on everybody. So we've had back-to-back seasons that have both ended in really bad ways, frustrating ways, and the locker room was not a happy place. And this year it is, and Buddy is probably kind of like the face of that because he looks like he's happy no matter what the hell's going on.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, what has taken place throughout the year where you had DeAnthony Melton, who looked like he was a great fit, Dennis Schroeder was an awkward fit. I think that he was struggling to find his footing with the team. Slow Mile Kyle Anderson was a great pro. You hate to see him go. Lindy Waters is a good young player. But you look around the team now, and you've got the three OGs, Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy Butler. You've got a couple of mainstays who've been here for a while, Kevon and GP2. Then you've got a whole slew of the pups. And then you got this guy over here just grinning ear to ear. Did you go 7 for 8 tonight, or did you go 1 for 11? I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
I'm going to do what Steph tells me to do. And that's why I'm here.
You know what else he's going to do? He's going to play basketball. And I mentioned this many times already on this show, Two Angry Guys. He played 84 games last year, Buddy Hield. That's almost impossible. You have to get traded, and when you get traded, you have to rush to your new team to play 84 games. So Buddy's a dude who,
it's impressive,
make or miss, play well or play poorly, he just is a guy who strikes me as somebody who enjoys just playing basketball.
Buddy Hield is also the only Warrior to play in every game so far this year.
There you go. There you go. Even the ones we didn't want him to.
That's correct.
That's he would even think that's funny.
Yeah, exactly. Did you just nickname our show Two Angry Guys?
I thought that's what you had called us previously.
No, Two Losers.
Whatever.
Two Losers.
Because neither one of us is angry.
Nobody
although
would
I famously, I'm angry, Jeff. That's awesome.
I mean, you get angry sometimes.
I haven't been angry in a long time, but yeah, Two Angry Guys. Two Losers is a little bit too harsh for me.
Although 707 did just text in a fact that the underdog pick of the night that I gave out was also an epic fail.
Oh, boy.
707 says, Willard, your Luka under 46.5 PRA did not hit last night. No, it did not. Not even close, by the way.
Yeah, Luka on a heater.
Yeah, sorry. I tried. Although, I will tell you, I've learned, taking unders on Luka and Shea, it's a bad idea.
Risky.
It's just not a good thing. Like, rooting against those guys to put up stats is just not fun because they do it on every possession.
Right.
It's bananas.
Yeah, the usage for those guys is almost like they might be 1 and 2 in the league in usage.
And Luka will go get you bored now.
Yeah.
He'll get you bored.
Yeah, he will.
He'll get you an assist, too.
Especially now that you're playing with LeBron, where you just flip it over to LeBron, and, you know, he's now just kind of a three-point shooter deluxe.
Ball is in their hands on every possession.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just going to, you're going to rack that thing up. So, you know, my fault. Vince in the city. Hi, Vince. What you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? Just listening to the show like I always do on my way home.
Smart,
you know,
move.
Nothing better than really listening to a couple of guys talk about my favorite teams from the home city, so. But what I wanted to talk about was, first off, let's think about Steph's greatness, right? Like, we all know he's one of the greatest to play, but, like, this guy drugged the team to a play-in basically by himself. He didn't have very much of a supporting cast since they won the ship in 22. And then you look at Jimmy Butler, and he's done the same thing but got them to the finals coming through the East. And, like, I draw parallels between the two guys, not stylistically with their play, but mentally with how they approach the game and how much they just want to win. They both have that dog in them. Like, they both got a killer instinct, and they go out there and leave it on the court every night that they play. They don't pack it in. And I think the fact that now you've got two guys on the same team who just want to win and play ball, like you guys just touched on, not having Clay or, like, having these bad attitudes or, like, bringing this negative energy to the team, is just, hey, let's just go get this dub. Let's just try to go stack as many wins as we can get. Let's see where we get. We got the talent now. You know, the young guys are promising, and I think it just, you know, I just think the fact that you got a dog and you got such a smart player who does something, like Steph said, completely different from his game, they complement each other so well, and now there's gravity inside that you can't just focus on Steph wherever he goes, kind of like it's been. It's like when you're playing, like, you know, Park and Rec or whatever, you know the guy's the best player on that team and everybody else kind of doesn't do anything. You just focus on one guy. You shut him down, the whole team, you know, the whole team's kind of like lost. So this guy, Jimmy's been great, and I think we were really lucky to have him for the next couple of years, and I'm excited to see what's coming.
Vince, even with all that said, there's no way you thought it would look this good this fast, right?
Absolutely not. I mean, I didn't know, like, all we have is what's covered in the media because we're not in that market. And it's just, oh, Jimmy's another bad attitude kind of guy. It's like, oh, great. Now we got to deal with another, you know, diva. But he's not saying anything. He's just playing ball. And I love it. Like, when you get a group of guys who are, like, in the same direction and are working towards the same goal, it's really hard to break. And I mean, I don't think anybody could have predicted that it would be, like, it would gel this quickly, this well. And it's been great, and I love to see it because I love my team to win.
Vince, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Love the call. I don't want to make this about, like, ooh, we didn't know Jimmy was that good. Like, Jimmy is a legit – like, how many Jimmys are there in this league? Like, guys who you know, you're like, you can be a one on a successful team. There's not that many.
And also a guy who can be a two and not only be okay with it, but be a two and then make the 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 suddenly better.
That's the thing.
And I'm looking
at the thing. Like, there's no way that we could have known that. And again, it not just working and fitting, but immediate.
Exactly.
Like, immediate. It was like, add water. It's like, you remember those old sponges? My mom used to buy those little hard sticks that if you added water, it would become a sponge.
Yeah.
Like, that's what Jimmy is. This is hard sponge. He just came in and he added water. Whole thing just poof.
And become those dinosaur ones where you put 4 drops of water. Ooh, Triceratops. There's Stegosaurus. We got a T-Rex over here.
Yeah.
It's kind of what it's been. Pods, I mentioned before, he's a plus 120 since Jimmy came. 13.6 points a game. Moody's a plus 101 since Jimmy came.
That's wild,
11.3
man.
A game. Post, plus 51, not quite as eye-popping, 9.6 a game. Now, I know he was trending toward, you know, being a knockdown shooter and really starting to be better. And I know Buddy Hield has been up and down, but he's been more up than down. And what Jimmy has brought is not only gravity, and we all want to talk about that and what that means, but also that swagger to the team.
Well, I just think it released all the pressure because, by the way, you're going through these role players, and we could look at some of these games on the road trip where you're like, dude, the role players sucked. I mean, we can go to the game in Orlando. If your name wasn't Quentin Post, you sucked. Even Jimmy sucked. Like, Steph Curry won the game by himself.
Yep.
But the point is it releases all this pressure because you don't have to be perfect every night. Now, suddenly, they feel like a team that's got options. If you're not playing well, this guy's going to pick you up. And that's kind of what comes with, like, the vibes and the belief and the release of pressure. We all know this. No matter what you do in life, you can release the pressure and you will perform better. Hashtag guru at knockout. Release.
Yeah, boy.
I'm sorry, but for
that's
real.
Too soon.
I've been trying to tell him. Release the pressure and the ball will go in. Like, I did
a layup.
I did not care or expect anything out of that day. And to end up being with Grandy on the final two, and like, whoa, like, zero pressure. I felt none. And so that why when Nahegan's behind me going, dude, Willard's on fire. Well, no, I can shoot a free throw. I'm a white guy who can't jump. I learned how to shoot a free throw. I can shoot a free throw, but also they're going in because I didn't care. Just relax. Everybody looks so relaxed.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, and I watched
you saw the humble brag in there?
I watched your Instagram
Which
back
one?
Today. of the final between you two. And
I posted the L.
Yeah, you posted the L.
Yeah.
Grandy with a... I mean, I don't know if it's something that needs to get looked at for next year, but he's shooting this, like, go-forward jumper. Mm-hmm. And if this was a true free throw, that's a violation because he's going over the line.
I don't know the rules. I do know that...
I don't either. It's a little bit of a nuance. Yeah. And I'm not going to discount the fluidity of your jumper because it was nice. You had the wetter going, but he is jumping over the line every single time.
I'm not bothered by it mainly because...
I'm not either. I'm just saying.
The two-minute report will also show that I completely fouled Grandy earlier in the match.
It was a no-call. I was up above.
I know. It was a no-call.
It was a good no-call.
I'm not going to come down his role for some rule because I fouled that man.
I'm not either. I'm just saying, watching back in the replay in your IG.
By the way, I fouled him on purpose, too.
Yeah.
I did not just foul him. It was purposeful.
Yeah.
I grabbed that man. John Stockton, that man.
I wish you would have given him the treatment that GP2 got the other night when he had his nose broke.
I'm not going to break another man's nose.
Okay.
Because I've had my nose broke. And not fun.
No?
And not fun.
Yeah.
No.
I would have powered through.
You would have. He wanted
also
it.
Also probably true.
He wanted
he
it.
He did want it. He wanted it.
Yeah. I broke my cheekbone, but that's broken nose is that's got
to
be worse.
I always think it's funny when we do this to teams. You just sit there like a fat rub pumpkin on a couch with a bucket of popcorn and watch a game, and you'll be like, yeah, the other team,
I'm a fat red pumpkin.
The other team wanted it more. I'm like, is there anything more disgustingly presumptuous than someone in their 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever, sitting on a couch halfway across the world with popcorn going,
you got to say it with your mouth full.
My team doesn't want it enough.
They just want it more.
Oh my God. But true story in knockout, he wanted it more.
Yeah,
he did.
You got it done.
See it. Yeah.
No doubt.
You're going after it. Went after that soccer.
Well, we get to the finals.
Yeah.
You got to turn it up. Before the finals, you don't have to go that hard.
Yeah, no. Like, I wasn't tanking. I gave it everything I had.
Yep.
A little hobbled. We made a few shots. He moves quicker than me. I lost.
Yeah.
He wanted it more.
Well, I
don't know what celebration I would have even had I won. But Grandy had a planned celebration. He wanted this soccer.
That was not planned.
The night just came out?
No. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it came out. It was not planned. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if I believe you.
I'm not buying it. I mean, I don't know if it's for sale, but I'm not buying it.
If it was planned, I would have hit it the second that went in.
That's true. It did take a minute.
I had to do, like, I did a lap.
Did someone give it to you? Like, hit him with the night?
No.
Okay.
I think Vontae. Vontae might have let him know. You need to hit that man with the night.
Vontae was way too excited for just being a spectator. Like, when we got to two, he started jumping right in front of our faces. He was just jumping up and down.
I loved it.
And then he chased him. He chased Grandy the way Guru chased his son when he hit that buzzer beater.
Yeah. I think that...
It was wild.
We can ask Vontae on Friday. Vontae filling in middays. Yeah. We're going to have a Vontae-Willard crossover
for the ages. For the first time in years.
And I'm going to ask Vontae if he has a little FOMO. I think he misses being on the air every day. I don't think he misses getting up at 4:30.
I did it
for 15 years, and it's not pleasant. But
we all would. Who would do something for every day? And then when you stop, you're going to miss it.
Of course, and I think that the camaraderie we have as a station, it shined bright on Monday at the event.
For sure.
You could see that Bonte was happy to be out there and happy to be a part of it again.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Getting up at 4:30, though, I don't think he misses.
Yeah, they're probably not that part. The alarm can go bleep itself.
I was a 3:44 when I was doing mornings all those years.
Why 3:44?
Just because I like the odd numbers. I like to keep it a little bit off balance. And I would set, and we'll go to the phones because this is really inside baseball, but I would set my alarm clock between 43 and 52 minutes ahead. That way, when the alarm would go off, I would look at it, and I'd have the shock value of, I'm late. Even though I knew that it was set, so the clock would show like 4:38, and I'd be like, oh, I got to get up, even though it was really 3:44.
Wait, sorry, really quick, Dibs. What time would your alarm go off?
3:44.
44, and you said that's an odd number?
It's odd that it's not like a round number, like I get up at 3:45.
It means like it's odd that he would do 3:44, not 3:45.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
44 is an even number, but
thanks,
I know what you're
going to say. It's a very even number, and it's my number at the craps table. Heart 8. 44 shooter.
Yeah.
Don't mess.
Willie McCovey.
That's right. You hit a few of those.
You knew that number? Huh? You knew that jersey number? 44?
I did. Yeah, no, I would have known. I would have known him.
Not bad.
Yeah.
I know. Hard four is?
Two twos.
Which is?
22. Will Clark.
Okay, there we go.
Will Clark. I mean, Will Clark was my
hard
guy.
Hard six?
Hard six, 33. Roger Craig?
And Larry Bird, but okay. Yeah.
Aaron Rowan.
Aaron Rowan from the back. That's a rare five.
Was it really? Did he wear 33?
Yeah, I believe him. Okay. That's a rare five from the director of sports.
Great batting stance. Remember that guy?
That was.
Very stiff and upright.
And he did actually get a hit, I think, in the World Series against the Rangers. It was like $100 million for one hit that mattered.
I'll have to Google it.
Yeah, whatever.
Anyway.
Go to TMC in San Jose. What's up, TMC? What are you doing?
Hey, guys. Loving the conversation today. Obviously, we're all smiles in Warrior Land right now. But two things come to mind as I was listening to your guys' feedback as well as one of the previous callers. So it had to kind of work out appropriately, right, in the sense that, you know, they started off the offseason trying to get either Markkanen or whoever they could get, right? And then it led to, okay, well, do we try and go for Levine, right? Or, oh, let's put all our chips in and try and get KD, right? And that didn't work. And lo and behold, they probably said, okay, I guess we're going to go to Jimmy, right? And I couldn't help but reminisce and say, like, it felt like just a decade ago, they went to Dwight Howard thinking, we're going after Dwight Howard. And that fell through, and we're like, you know what? We'll get this guy from Denver called Andre Iguodala. And look how that worked out over the years, right? I couldn't help but think, like, imagine if it has that kind of impact, right? So that's one. And then two, you know, obviously he's having a positive impact not only with the OGs but with the young guys, right? So that could pay dividends both ways in the sense that you're helping the OGs make deep runs, but who knows down the line, it's ironically, Jimmy could be that proper bridge of that supposed two-timeline concept of getting these young guys mature enough to play with the old guys properly. Wouldn't that be ironic if he's the guy that bridges everything together? So I'll leave you guys at that and just kind of let you guys comment on my comments.
No doubt. Yeah, TMC, a couple thoughts come to mind.
Would be ironic.
It would be very ironic.
And I like the fact that he used irony correctly, because a lot of times people think that they use irony when it's actual coincidence.
Coincidence, exactly.
This would be irony because Jimmy Butler has had a reputation of not being a bridge builder or a real helper of younger, weaker players.
Yeah, but like I said, even back when this happened, one thing that I had sort of said, not in favor of the deal, but like I'm not making up my mind about who Jimmy Butler is because of someone else's experience.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, let's have our own experience with Jimmy Butler, and then let's also be mindful that it's been 3 weeks, and everybody always loves everybody for 3 weeks.
Mm.
So this can still go many, many different ways. But yes, our experience with Jimmy Butler might end up being totally different than what the experience was in Miami. In fact, you may even argue that that's likely. And the role that he's being asked to play here is different. He is not the face of this franchise and never will be.
Right.
So, like, that's a completely different responsibility and all of that stuff. So, sure, it would completely be ironic. But at the same time, like, yeah, I hit it with that sort of level of openness. If you're a Warrior fan, your relationship with Jimmy Butler started 3 weeks ago. You can forget everything that happened before that.
Yeah, that's all NBA stuff, and it doesn't affect you. Like the stories of him clowning his teammates in Minnesota and what he did in Miami and how he forced his way out, quote unquote. Those are all things that you can hold against him if you want. But as a Warrior fan, it starts when he arrives in L.A., and he gets his number 10, is Jimmy Butler III, and you see fans rushing to buy his jersey, and since he started playing, they're 9-1 when he actually plays basketball. So for me, that's when the Jimmy Butler clock actually begins.
Well, and then the other thing that he's talking about that I think is worth our time is, look, don't be afraid to admit it. Sometimes when moves work perfectly, there is luck involved, and that's okay. The Warriors tried hard for this person to be named Kevin Durant, not Jimmy Butler. Now, I have no idea. Maybe it would go even better. I don't know how that's possible.
Yeah.
but it doesn't feel like it would, and you would have had to give up a lot more. There's no Kuminga on the team. There are multiple first-round draft picks that are out the door. And Kevin Durant, while a better offensive player, is maybe not the connector that Jimmy Butler has been, and not as good of a two-way player as Jimmy Butler is. So, look, if you had asked me back that day, I would have definitely picked Durant over Butler, even at the higher price. But as we sit here now, that looks like that would have been the wrong thing to do. And the only reason that happened is because Kevin said no. That's the only reason. So, yeah, the Warriors also got a break.
Right. And that happens in sports.
Of course it does.
Minnesota took back-to-back point guards in 2009. Mm. They took Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio, and they chose not to take Steph Curry. And so the Warriors were able to scoop and score on the sharpshooter from Davidson. And if Minnesota wasn't run so poorly, he wouldn't have been available. So was that lucky? Yeah. And it was also lucky that no one drafted Brock Purdy until you got to the Mr. Irrelevant spot. So this is, it's commonplace in sports where you get lucky.
And even if you draft Brock Purdy, it's, I guess, I hate to use this word, I mean, it's lucky that people in front of him got hurt so that you could even take a look at him.
Man, that seems mean-spirited, no, to Trey Lance.
No, but the point is he could have easily still been on the bench.
Yeah.
He could have easily still been watching football, and nobody would even know.
No luck involved when your coach is running your QB into the ground.
Oh, here we go. Warrior Wednesday.
Just a quick one.
Brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. We're also brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. We're here for your phone calls at 888-957-9570. And also, coming up in just about 20 minutes or so, maybe a little bit more, if you missed any of our Steve Kerr conversation, my goodness, it was phenomenal. It went weaving through the streets of New York. We'll have it for you coming up in just a bit on Willard and Dibs.
Butler working on Brunson. Jab step, driving baseline, underneath the hoop, to Moody, extra pass, Curry, catch and shoot, right wing, three, rain dance! Warriors by two, timeout! Knicks, 7:30 to go in the third.
Now back to Willard. Now back to Willard and Dibs. Take it away, Mark.
Yes, rain dance!
Thank you, Kevin.
Okay, you're going to have to re-rack this. Do you want to know how you know that Kevin Dana is a maniac? It's not the rain dance. It's not that. It's the way
rain dance.
The way he screams "time out" even louder after that. That's
time out.
The dude is a maniac. Play the whole thing again.
Butler working on Brunson. Jab step, driving baseline, underneath the hoop, to Moody, extra pass, Curry, catch and shoot, right wing, three, rain dance. Warriors by two. Timeout. Knicks, 7:30 to go in the third.
Like, he's already chilling because he's like, rain dance. He's done his call, and he's like, Warriors by two. And then all of a sudden, it's like, timeout. I mean, like, he like fired himself back up again. Kevin Dana is a maniac.
He's hilarious.
Oh, my God. He's so fun.
It just cracks me up. Oh, and, so you know, fun. He definitely rises to those occasions where he gets the gig. And, you know, he does so much. He's like Baby Flem with all the different gigs he has. He's out there working like an Evan Giddings level where, hey, Evan, what are you still doing here? Well, I got a St. Mary's JV softball game against Lemoyne or whatever. It's like, he's got some gigs that he works.
You got to light him up, man.
Kevin Dana's doing the same thing.
You got to light him up.
He's out there gigging.
Somebody in our business told me when I was just a pup in the little thing that said, never, ever let one company be in charge of whether or not there's food on your table. I never forgot that.
Yeah, and you live that today.
Yeah.
You got four different companies for whom you work.
Right. Now, I don't know if any of the other three pay me enough to put food on the table for four people.
Yep, fair.
But I get it. I get
going
it.
Going on seven people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Quietly.
That was the hilarious part about the proposal night is, like, they're all there, and then we went and got ice cream, and they looked at me, and the stepdaughters-to-be, one of them looks at me and goes, so, thanks, Dad. And starts laughing because it was like time to bring the credit card over.
Yeah.
And it's like, holy crap, we're just trying to get ice cream.
So your little ice cream date was like $54 for the seven of you to get some out. Seriously.
I'm like, next time I'm just bringing a pocket full of hard candy. We're not doing this. Right. Like, what is happening?
Or just go to Safeway and pick up a gallon and give everyone a spoon.
Yeah, I'm like, hon, I'll see you in the aisles.
Yep.
Both kind of aisles, but anyway.
Sneaky, like, almost Brady Bunch vibe with you two.
A little bit.
You know, you bring the three, and she's got the two, and you each have a dog, and now all of a sudden it's like husband and wife and five and two dogs, and you're probably going to spend about $1,000 a month on kibble. I'm talking about kibble. Anyway. Yeah, love. Have at it.
That big bag. I get that big. I want to talk about a major bag alert. That's how you save money with the dog. Get the size dog food that's too big to carry. But just, dude, man up for 3 minutes and find a way to get that bag to your car.
The 50-pound bag.
It's unbelievable.
It's like 3 feet long.
Yeah. You put that thing over your shoulder and then just put an ugly face on and see if you can get it to your car. Like they used to do middle of the night on ESPN. Those strongman competitions.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just grab one of them bags of dog food, put it on your back, and see if you can get it. If you can, woo, you saved yourself $12. That's the way to do it, man.
Magnus Ver Magnussen.
Everybody was named Magnus.
Dude.
All of them.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go to Drew in San Jose. Steve Kerr, less than 10, actually less than 15 minutes away. Hey, Drew, what's going on? You're on Willard and Dibbs.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Sounds good. I just wanted to talk about Jimmy Butler and his history with different teams, right? Particularly the Heat, because I'm getting this notion that we all think that we're getting a new Jimmy Butler, but my argument is that this has been the Jimmy Butler at least since his Miami days. And all they have to do is go back to the playoffs in the bubble where you had a very, very young Miami Heat team that he was able to take to the finals. And he was able to elevate Tyler Hero, who was a rookie, Bam Adebayo, who was a third or fourth year guy. And it was he was the connector with those guys as well. In an offense that that's Eric Spoelstra ran, that is very, very similar to the movement offense that Steve Kerr runs here. So, I would make the argument that this is a happy Jimmy Butler and that we're getting the best out of him. And how he's helping the young guys get along and play, particularly BP and Moses, is no surprise to me, honestly.
Well, Drew, I think, you know, you can sing the praises of Jimmy's talent all day long, and I think that that's fair. And you can talk about him elevating teammates, and that's fair. I would still argue two things. A, you just never know how it's going to work with your group. And B, ain't no way in hell I thought it was going to be this quick. You know what I mean?
No, I absolutely agree with you. And I think you're alluding to Jimmy's like personality issues and how that might have translated. I think, you know, with the Heat, he was mad at the contract that he had gotten or that he did not get for that matter. And with Minnesota, he was particularly mad at the younger players for not like falling in line. Right. And I don't think those two problems exist right now with the Warriors, but could they exist in 1 to 2 years? Absolutely they can, but I'm enjoying the ride while it lasts.
Yeah, see, Drew, thank you. And that's where I am too. You know what I mean? Like, you know what's wild? This is here's the statement that's wild. You trade for Jimmy Butler. You still don't even know what this necessarily means for Jonathan Kuminga's future and his contract or how he's going to play or is there now a new ceiling that's over Jonathan's head. You don't know any of that yet. And you have signed him to an extension worth, what is it, 111? Is that what we decided it is? 111 for 2 years?
I think 112.
Yeah. 112. Okay. $111, $112 million for 2 years, and that hadn't even started yet. Okay? That hasn't even started yet. So that could go completely sideways. He's played 10 basketball games for the Warriors, and I am already willing to sit here and say, good move.
Yeah.
I don't care what goes wrong the rest of the way. It was the right move, a good move. It has rebirthed Steph Curry and meaningful basketball. And I can't tell you what that's worth to this fan base. I think if you're tapped in at all to what's going on with Warrior basketball right now, you know. Like, the excitement around this team, the people who are flocking to the arena, to the television set, to the radio, to our social channels, everything has gone through the roof. And it's not to see Jimmy play. It's because of what he's created. And it's, to me, the realization that, yes, the hope that Steph Curry wasn't done has been confirmed. He's not done.
He's not done, and hopefully they're not done. And what this has done for the franchise and for Joe Lacob, really, Mark, is almost assured that next year they're going to go into the second apron, which is something you can only do one time. You don't want to do it in back-to-back years, but you mentioned it. You sign him for $112 million. Next year, Steph gets 59.6. Jimmy gets 54.1. Draymond's at about 26. In the total allocations right now, which will be an allocation sensation
good
for Joe Lacob and company, they're on the hook right now for $170.5 million. This year's salary cap is $140.5. So you're assuredly, if you bring everyone back, you're going to be over the salary cap. And if you sign Kuminga to, let's just say, $25 million a year, I don't know what that number will be, but you're going to be up around $200 million, which means, again, Joe Lacob is going to be paying a huge amount of money in tax penalties. But if you win 9 of every 10 games, I think he's willing to do that.
I mean, he's basically already said, we're doing it.
Right, we're doing it.
We love that guy.
Easy
we love
to do
Kuminga.
It when, you know, now all of a sudden you roar up into the sixth seed and you're 9-1 with Jimmy and things are looking good. And it looks like these three can work if they stay upright. And Steph's about to be 37 in a week or so. But Joe Lacob and company have basically said, yeah, we're doing it. We're going to go ahead and spend again whatever it takes. So this year was we kind of want to get out of the second apron. We want to save money, and it didn't really work out. And then Joe went to Mike Dunleavy and said, get me a star, Mike. This isn't working for me.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer.